This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Audie Cornish.
And reporting from Brazil all this week, I'm Melissa Bloch. I'm here in Rio de Janeiro with our South America correspondent, Lourdes Garcia Navarro. Hey, Lulu.
Hey.
And we're going to have stories on the rising middle class in Brazil, what's fueling economic growth in the north of the country, and we're going to talk about race in this diverse culture and the myth that Brazil is a racial democracy.
That's right. Brazil has the largest black population outside of Africa. For the first time, more than half of Brazilians define themselves as black or mixed race. That's 97 million people.
But at the same time, those numbers really haven't translated into power, right? Whether it's social power, economic, political, or religious power. And your story today is about an Afro-Brazilian religion. Tell us about it.
That's right. A recent religious poll has shown a sharp uptick in people self-identifying as followers of Afro-Brazilian religions like Candomblé. I recently went to a Candomblé ceremony in a crowded house of worship. They are waiting for the gods to come to them from the spirit world. It's a sacred festival day in honor of Omulu. The women wear white dresses with crinoline crossed with colorful belts and headdresses. The men are in lace pajama-style suits. For hours, they sing and dance in a circle. The room gets warmer, the chanting more intense. Suddenly, they are here. The orishas have possessed the chosen among the faithful. These are the spirit gods, the deified ancestors who link humans to the other world. Those who have been taken over writhe and shout. They are led away and then returned dressed in beautiful sparkling costumes depicting the aspect of the deity, the snake god Oshumare, Omulu, the orisha of death. Candomblé came to Brazil on the slave ships of West Africa. Followers believe in one all-powerful god who is served by lesser deities. Each initiate has their personal guiding deity that acts as an inspiration and protector. There is no concept of good and evil, only individual destiny.
A festa de hoje é para Omolu.
Pai Nelson is the priest in this house of worship. He says today's ritual is one of purification.
Sim, o Candomblé teve momento assim muito isolado, né?
Candomblé was once very hidden, very isolated, he says. Candomblé wasn't accepted here. People always had a preconception about it because it was African. Black people aren't accepted in society here. We do animal sacrifice, so our religion is very different than any other, he says. People don't understand it. But there has been a recent push to change that. Sitting among the faithful here is Marcílio Costa, who is the commercial officer at a foreign consulate in São Paulo. He became an initiate a year and a half ago, and he says he's open about it.
It's among Brazilians, yes. People understand better now, these days, you know? All my friends know my religion, every single one of them. I don't hide from no one.
In the Afro-Brazilian Studies Department in the University of Rio, Ana Paula Alves Ribeiro listens to the group Meta Meta, which uses the rhythms and language of Candomblé in their music. She explains that for some time now, musicians and artists have been influenced by the many Afro-Brazilian religions here, but it's only in the last few years that adherents of Candomblé have made a push to be more widely recognized in other forms.
In the census of 2010, there was a big movement within Candomblé called He Who Is, Say That He Is, meaning those who practice Candomblé should give that as their religion in the census.
Candomblé, like its cousin Santeria, practiced in Cuba, is a syncretic religion, meaning that many of the orishas are also represented by Catholic saints, and Candomblé has absorbed many Catholic practices. So for much of its hidden history here, Candomblé practitioners would tell the government they were Catholics when they weren't. It was a way of protecting themselves from persecution. But after the fall of the military dictatorship 3 decades ago, Afro-Brazilian activists saw that instead of cowering in the shadows, Afro-Brazilian culture had to be put front and center.
As comunidades de terreiro, né?
So the Afro-Brazilian religions start to organize to fight for their rights and against religious intolerance. In the new millennium, you start to see African religions holding their festivals out in the open, in the streets, not hidden in the basements.
But it's a battle for recognition on many fronts. And there's a new challenge, the rise of evangelical Christianity. Almost a quarter of Brazilians say they identify as evangelical, while Afro-Brazilian religious followers are still a tiny fraction of the population, at less than 5%. Marcelo Monteiro sits in the open-air Tejero, or Candomblé Church, surrounded by palm trees and buzzing insects. Shrines to the various deities dot the area. He sings a West African Yoruba folk song about how no religion will stop them from practicing their faith. It's become a kind of battle cry, he says. Monteiro is a Candomblé priest who has started the first Candomblé political party, PPLE.
In 2011, com a crescente evolução.
With the growth of Pentecostal religions and their dominance in the halls of political power within Congress, we felt obligated to start our own political group.
Monteiro complains that much of the status Candomblé had gained is being lost again since evangelical Christianity swept Brazil. Afro-Brazilian shrines have been attacked by evangelical groups, and some of the evangelical churches call their religion devil worship. There is another reason, though. Monteiro thinks it's vital to have a Candomblé party in Congress. Even though people of African descent are now more than half the population of the country, they are only 8% of the lower house of Congress. Only 2 out of 81 senators are black. At a Rio restaurant, we meet Jeanna Guinonde. She's a black activist and a Candomblé practitioner who says the legacy of slavery can still be felt here in every part of life. Brazil was the last country to give up slavery in the region. She says the fight for equality is ongoing and protecting Afro-Brazilian religious heritage is part of that.
It's important to highlight the huge importance of the black movements in pushing for the appreciation of diversity or religious plurality. Many people would like to get rid of the black population in Brazil and their beliefs, but we won't allow that.
It's wedding day at a Candomblé house of worship. The bride and groom are led into the hall while family and well-wishers look on. As part of their push for legitimacy, the first legally binding weddings and baptisms are now being presided over by Candomblé priests. Pai Leonardo is conducting this wedding ceremony.
We have the right granted by the Constitution. If we are recognized as a religion, we have to function like one. To be respected, we have to operate in public, to lose the fear we have had since slavery.
Our religion is beautiful, he says. Up until now, we haven't existed in the eyes of the world. We need society, the government, the people here to recognize that we do exist, that we can take our place side by side with the other religions. Lourdes Garcia Navarro, NPR News, Rio de Janeiro. Thank you.